Have you ever absolutely panicked after you accidentally deleted a file on your computer? I know I have. It's not an issue if you've got CrashPlan Smart Recovery. Your files are just a few clicks away and can be restored in a snap. CrashPlan provides the best cloud backup solutions in the market. Visit crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. Now you can protect all your work with an unlimited backup and recovery solution. CrashPlan makes it simple to restore some or all of your data. And with unlimited version retention, CrashPlan can be your ultimate rewind button. Get unlimited computer backup for you or your business with CrashPlan Professional. CrashPlan backs up files that live on your computer and works with PC, Mac, and Linux. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
I have very few business crushes in this world, but Jill Donovan of Rustic Cuff is one of them. Her business savvy, her brain. I have never loved someone's brain so much. And I know that sounds super weird, but when you see someone who is super inspiring and doing amazing business things and is kind and generous and making bank, like, I can't help but notice. Those are all the amazing qualities that I love in someone. And she's from my hometown in Tulsa. So she's kick-ass. I obsess over her in this entire episode, but outside of my fangirling, I still think you're going to get a lot from it.
Inside this episode, Jill is talking to us about how she was publicly humiliated on national television, sitting on the couch next to Oprah, and how that drastically changed the rest of her life and how she moved on from that, and then had it come back and be one of the best things that ever happened to her. I'm excited for you to jump in. This episode, as much as I thought it was going to be about scaling a product-based business, is more about following your intuition and gut and listening to your heart and doing things that impact other people. I'm excited for you to listen. This one is so good.
I am massive fangirling right now. An amazing businesswoman, an amazing entrepreneur, amazing human is on the show today and in our presence. And I'm so, so excited you guys get to hear from her and meet her. Jill Donovan of Rustic Cuff, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Emily, Abigail, thank you so much for having me.
I have been obsessed with your brand and your business savvy, your heart, your strategy, everything that has been going around Rustic Cuff for the years that you've been in business. You are a Tulsa hometown girl. That's where I'm from. I love, love, love that. So much of what you're putting out into the world, beside the amazing product that people are obsessed with, but the brand that you've developed, the giving aspect that you developed, the generosity of your like entrepreneurial spirit, it is well known in the community, and I respect that so much. So besides me just saying like how amazing you are this entire time.
Thank you. Can you travel with me? Because what you just said was so beautiful. I want you to just go.
Yes. Yes. I will just introduce you wherever you go ever.
That was the perfect introduction. That was the perfect introduction I've ever heard.
So I want to dive in today, and I promise I'll give Abby a chance to talk also, but I want to hear a little bit about the beginnings of your journey, because I do think it's important from where you came from and how Rustic Cuff even started to really give people some perspective on how big shiny brands actually begin.
Well, I'll give you the short synopsis here. I was an attorney, and then I became a law professor. And it was nothing that I ever woke up and said, oh, I get to go do this. Like, probably. Even though I enjoyed it, I always said, I have to go to work. So my Monday through Friday was something, and my Friday through Sunday was a completely other thing. Two separate lives. And I had always envisioned that my life would all be one big get to. I get to do this. And I was 40, and I just didn't know if I'd ever land in that get to. And I thought that's what I would always do. And so, because work was always work, I couldn't wait to have my kids because I knew then I wasn't going to work anymore. Work always resembled just that, work. And so I had always hoped, I just didn't know if it would ever be actualized or I would ever see the day I would get to a get to. And through a crazy series of events, of trying new hobbies every year. One of my things I wanted to do was get to the Oprah show just to be in the audience before she retired or died.
Dreams are like dream.
Yeah. Right. And just to do that, I didn't know if it would lead anywhere, but it was just for fun. And so I pursued trying to get tickets to the audience after 4 or 5 years of trying this. It was impossible. It was very tricky to get a ticket. I got on the website and it asked if you wanted to be on the show. And I thought, how in the world did I wait so long to try to be on the show? And so I just knew that I was going to find something that they were looking for and have it fit me. Well, the very first thing they were looking for was, are you a regifter? And I was a very big regifter. I grew up in a family of regifters. We had closet where you would put linens. That's where we would put gifts we would get to regive. We never had to go to the store for a birthday, ever. So I could not wait for my birthday to come around, not because I wanted gifts for me, but because I wanted to fill my closet up when I graduated from college. And every birthday and every Christmas, I would just get these gifts and put them in there and then regive them. And I love stuff with my initials on it or my name. And so I started to look for friends that just were Jill or that had this. Because I'm like, listen, if you stick around long enough, you're going to get an amazing birthday gift. Don't break our friendship up until your birthday happens or you'll be sorry. Yeah, right. You are a lucky girl if your name starts with J. Or change it. For that matter, just change it. When you meet me, change your name. I'm an attorney. I can help you change your name. And so I was so excited about this gift clause. It was really this fun game for me. And Oprah was looking for people with funny stories. And one day while I was practicing law, I wrote these three stories in how I had just gotten caught re-giving somebody the same gift they had given me. And it was my mother-in-law, and I just got married. And it was funny. I thought it was funny until I started crying and it wasn't so funny. So I wrote, and I have a twin brother, and he did the exact same thing that I did. And I wrote these stories. Well, within 2 hours, they called and said, we want to fly to Tulsa tomorrow to film your gift closet. And so I had some holes in the closet at that time. And so I ran across the street and bought every gift I could find to put in there and to fill it up, and then returned it all the next day. And I used to feel guilty about that I used these stores. And then I thought, there's no greater advertising than being on in my closet. And then they came and they filmed. It was very, I thought it was funny. It was very lighthearted. The show was an etiquette show on whether it's proper to do XYZ, and regifting was one of them. And I had Googled it. And as long as you're not outright lying about it, and there's outright lying, and then there's just not telling the truth. Totally different. Remember, I was an attorney. And so they took the footage back to Chicago, and I never asked if I was going to go to the show, be on the show. I thought, if this is going to be my door, it will open without me pounding it down. This is the thing I wanted for 5 years, just to sit in the audience. And the next day they called and they said, we want to fly you and your husband to sit in the front row of the show. So when your clip airs, Oprah will look at you and say, thank you, Jill, for being here. And they said, all you have to do is say, thank you, Oprah. And so I practiced that a thousand times. Like, thank you, Oprah. Thanks. I mean, there were a million ways you could say it, and I was going to land on the perfect one. So I get to the show, go to the green room, get my makeup done, and they said, you're not going to tell any stories. You're just going to say thank you. And so I'm on the front row, and right before the show started, Maria, the producer, came up to me, and she said, there have been a change of plans. You're going to be sitting on the couch with Oprah. I'm going to interview you, and you're going to tell three stories. But this is my get-to. Wherever it leads, I'm landing in my get-to. And you have that, you know, that feeling in your stomach where something's happening and you can't control it, but you just are so over.
Like you might vomit at any second.
But you're just going with it. And so I'm on the couch, and the show starts. The only thing Oprah said to me was cute shoes. And there were two etiquette experts on the other side of the stage, and they said the same thing to me, cute shoes. And I thought, we're going to be really great friends. Like, we're going to go have a drink. Now, I know. We were going to go meet Gail after the show and have a drink. I felt that strongly about our relationship. And I was already thinking how I was going to resign at my law practice. And so then the show aired. They aired the clip. And Oprah looked at me. It was so exciting. And there were 300 people in the audience. It was not live. It was going to air to 20 million people in a few weeks after that. And when you're in front of 300 people, it's not that nerve-wracking. I mean, I had been in court, and I was used to this kind of thing at this point. And so I wasn't that nervous at all. It all happened so fast. And they aired it, and Oprah said, Jill, what do you think about what you just saw on the screen? And I said, well, and I was getting ready to talk to her. and tell her a story. And she goes, well, just a second, let's go ask the etiquette experts. And she looked over at these two cute girls from Canada, which didn't know they had different rules on regifting in Canada, and said, what do you all think about what Jill's doing? And they looked at me with smiles, like really big smiles. And I thought, we will reminisce about this when we go for a drink. We'll talk about how fun this segment was. And they said, through their smiles, they said, we think that what Jill's doing is wrong and she's rude and tacky and she really needs to go home and give that entire closet to Goodwill. And here this moment just came crashing down and had not aired yet. It was like somebody had taken everything, every high moment that I was experiencing and threw it on the ground and stepped on it. And not by Oprah's fault in any way, it is how strongly they felt about regifting, these etiquette experts. And I didn't get to tell a single story. I could barely defend myself because I was so shocked. My eyes were like this, wide open. I took a chair, I hit them both, and went to prison and didn't even get my phone call. But I found a Jill in prison and gave her some of my gifts. And so the show ended. I mean, I wanted to cry. I didn't blink or I knew the tears would fall. And I begged Maria, please don't air that. And she said, it's not as bad as you think. 3 weeks later, it aired and it was twice as bad as I had imagined and what I remembered. But before it aired, as soon as we left the studio, I went to Gino's Pizza. And if you've been to Chicago, it's this iconic pizza place. And I remember with all the noise going on, all the pain, I said, Terry, to my husband, why, I can't even imagine, this is something I've hoped for 5 years. Why in the world would God bring me to this place of sheer joy and hope? And only to just have it cut off. I would have rather never gone to the show in the first place or just sat in the last row of the audience. Why in the world did I have to come this far? Why would he do that to me? And in a split second, I said, answered my own question. And I said, I don't know the reason yet, but I have this strong feeling that there is going to be some significance to this pain I'm feeling. I can't describe it, but I know that I'm going to see in my lifetime a significance and a purpose for this pain. And I know, I have to say, I know pain is relative. There are people dying and there's destruction and there's cancer. There's terrible things that are not fair to people. This was relative for me at that moment. And so I literally went home after I returned everything in that closet and I took black trash bags, put it all in the bags, handed it to Terry. And I said, please take this to Goodwill. And I said, I don't want to open this closet again. I literally want to leave the shelves empty. And I did. And I said, no more hobbies, because I was doing a hobby every year. And I said, no more hobbies. I took a sabbatical from teaching, not because of that, but because I just focused on my girls and said, no more work, no more hobbies. This is what I'm going to do. And that's what I did. 5 years later, I was laying in bed and I said, even though I haven't and it aired 3 times that year. They said it was one of the highest rated episodes. And so it aired. And you go out in public and people would be like, gosh, you look familiar. Like, Susie Orman, don't ask me for $5, please. And so sometimes people think I'm Susie Orman and I'm like, sell everything you have and move away. That's my best financial advice. And so 5 years later, I was laying in bed and I said, you know, I'm not the kind of person that holds resentment, but this, I think I've been holding on to this against these girls. Because they took, even though they didn't know that this was a dream of mine and so I sat up in bed. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I had not fallen asleep yet. My girls were asleep. My husband was asleep. And I said, I'm going to let this go. I'm going to verbally say, I'm going to let this go. And I had worked my way through law school by working in American Airlines. And as I traveled for fun in the countries or cities I would go to, I would collect cuffs, like really big cuffs, statement cuffs, bracelets to remind me of my experience in that city. I had a drawer full of them and I woke up and said out loud, well, not out loud, but in my head, I said, I'm going to let this go. I'm going to just open the closet again. But I want to create something that I can fill the closet back up with. I don't know what it is, but I want to do something again that is, and you know, also when you've had children for a while, everything stops creatively. Like, and I got up and I sat at my computer till I did not sleep that night. And I Googled everything that had to do with making cuffs. And I thought I would start making cuffs. And every night for the next 4 months, I would put my kids to bed, say goodnight to my husband. And about 10 o'clock, I'd go back in this back room. And I had gone to the leather store countless times and just sat there and said, teach me everything you know. And so I learned through the internet and through just the people at the leather store who became my friends and taught myself how to make these cuffs. And one by one started the closet back up until it was full of cuffs. And that is the day that I said, I let this go was the day that Rusty Cuff was born.
Well, I have chills and I have all these thoughts and all these things I want to ask you now. Man, like talk about like being disappointed. I have a similar experience. Not similar. I can't say it's similar, but not Oprah level. But I remember being let down by one of my heroes. I am a huge fan of Shark Tank. And I even blocked out his name. I can't even remember his name right now. He was supposed to come do a what I thought was a book signing at a college town 2 hours away.
Well, because they called it a book signing.
They called it a book signing. So I got a ticket to go to his book signing. Drove 2 hours to go see him and he wasn't there. And it was a 2-hour pitch for some like entrepreneurship, high level mastermind thing where he may or may not be at the next thing. And I was like, just devastated. Like, how could you take this away from me? This man I respected all of a sudden went to the bottom of the totem pole. And it was like, so frustrating. So,
but I remember what came from that for us and for our business, because that was just a couple of years ago. You called me and said, I feel like shit. This guy held this power over me and I respected him and I was super disappointed and I never want our people to feel like this. So what can we do to change so they never feel like that?
And but for that happening, you may not have grown to the point where you are that concerned about other people. I mean, you may have gotten there some other way, but I say, but for being embarrassed on TV, I don't know that the things that have happened would have occurred, because the truth is I would have just kept going with what I was doing and I would have had 15 minutes on the Oprah show of a fun time. Nothing big would have come out of it. It would just been, I would have been a guest and I told funny stories, but the full circle moment that I knew that the significance came, I went into the closet, I saw all these cuffs and I said, okay, there's got to be a purpose. And I said, I'm going to start gifting these to strangers. And I went in there and I put a bunch on. Have you heard this story, Emily, this part?
Abby hasn't. And I was about to tie it back to like, you still do this today, like some version of this.
Yes. But this was the first time I had done it. And I was like, okay, I don't want a business. I just want to do this for fun. And I put about 4 bracelets on my wrist and went to the grocery store and said, this is the first time. And I said, I'm going to find a stranger. That's uncomfortable. And I'm going to do it. And it was crowded. And I walked in and I saw a girl at the cash register and she was checking people out. And I got in her line because I knew she was the one. And when I got up to the front of the line, there were still a bunch of people behind me. And I said, I just went like this, didn't look down. I said, I feel like I'm supposed to give this to you. I didn't even tell her the name of my business or anything. It wasn't about advertising. And she immediately started to cry and said, you would have no way of knowing this because we've never met. But yesterday I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she said, when I was in the doctor's office and he told me the diagnosis, she said, through my tears, I prayed that God would give me a sign of hope to let me know it was all going to be okay. And I looked down and it was a pink bracelet that I did. And she looked at me and said, thank you for being that sign of hope. And that's when I went back to Gino's Pizza and said, but for that moment, he might not have had her sign of hope. And then I received a letter and it was from the creative director and said, congratulations. You've been chosen to be on the wrist of Oprah on the cover of her March issue, the Oprah magazine. And I started to cry. It was this big orange stingray cuff. I started to cry because it was a cuff that I had mailed to Gayle King that I used to watch her wear on the CBS Morning Show. And whether or not she regifted it to Oprah, I don't want to say, but the crazy full circle God moment that if I sat down to write this story out, I would not be that creative to be able to tie it back to that. But it was like this nod saying, you, but for the pain, for being embarrassed and humiliated, you really would never have had the thing built I wouldn't have. I didn't want to do it. So that was born. The long road. I'm sorry that took a little longer.
No, like I loved every second of it. Want to learn exactly step by step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that help me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire because I'm busy enough already. When we've hired in the past, the process was full of unqualified applicants. With Indeed, we can target the right candidates for the right position. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Money issues are a common stressor in any relationship. Monarch Money is the top-rated personal finance app that can get you and your partner on the same page without any extra cost. Monarch has built-in collaboration features, so together you can see your finances, budget, and get insights on your cash flow. It's the easiest way to manage any household finances. I've tried other finance apps in the past, and they didn't work the way I wanted them to. I don't want to stress over finances. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint and keep all of your tags and categories. Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it so easy to get set up, customize, and use. Monarch prioritizes my privacy, and they'll never sell my data to third parties. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. That's monarchmoney.com/strategy for your extended 30-day free trial. How did it go from giving them away to monetizing and like building? I've heard the stories about the people lining up and the stores being insane. So like, how did it transition?
So because I never wanted, it wasn't about the money for me because I wasn't working. So it was when you're not working, you're making it fine. You're okay. So somebody said, I want to do a party. And I know those parties because everybody feels guilty that you got to buy something. I said, I don't want to do a party because everybody feels guilty. Should please let me just throw a party. So I let her throw a party. 100 people came. And I sold that damn, like 200 cuffs, but custom ones where I had to go back. And I sold almost everyone for $38 because I didn't know how to price. And 38 seemed like a good number, which probably was barely enough. I mean, it would take me 2 hours, like 2 hours for one cuff. And I sold 200 of them. So now I've gone from just doing this for fun, putting them in the closet, to I have to create 200. Well, then that started spreading because I would put quotes that were so meaningful for people or their kids' names. Now they had this thing that was not just a bracelet. It was a meaningful thing. Then I just started sending them to people in the media because I said, I'm not going to advertise. I don't want to spend money to advertise, but I will send them to people I respect and admire. People that I had the TV that were on my TV that got me through the first 6 months of this. And so I started sending them, just researching who they, you know, what they like, who they are. And little by little, I would turn on the TV and start seeing people wear them on NBC and ABC and CBS and Miranda Lambert at her concerts. And I thought, the power of that alone is worth more than, you know, $100,000 of advertising, because you can't get them I never asked them to wear them. I never asked them to talk about it, but you would take a picture of that and show people. And even if it's a crappy piece of anything, people are like, sold. And so somebody from Good Morning America heard me talking about this at a branding meeting that they, something called Spark and Hustle. And they asked me to talk about branding. And so I just said how I would mail stuff to people that I loved. And she said, would you come and be on Good Morning America? Could we have the cuffs on Good Morning America next week? And I said, sure. And she said, how many can you make in a week? And I was like, 1,000. Like and then I said under my breath, like, if I stay up for a year, like it'll be 1,000. And then we went on. It was just me. I had just hired a girl, but she wasn't starting till the next week. And we sold sold 2,000 because I didn't have any employees yet, 2,000 that day on air. And that, to answer your question, Abby, that is when the craziness happened, because now it's not just Tulsa. It was all over the country. America. And so that next year I wound up hiring 5 people. I mean, friends. But a lot of people would come and sit around my house every day, people that I had not hired every day just to help. And so by year 3, it had just started spreading and I had 20 employees and it just kept growing. This is year 6, going on year 7. And so now it's at 160.
160 and the truth is, I didn't, employees.
Yes. So I had 2 children and that is plenty. When you have employees and I really didn't want to hire, I didn't care about hiring skilled people. I wanted to hire people that I could go spend a weekend in Vegas with. That's all I cared about. If you were fun, I could teach you how to do anything. And so the company now is made up basically of great Vegas friends, but it's not what I wanted. All these things are truly are not what I asked for, wanted, but sometimes I say God takes people who are the least equipped. So you can't ever say it's because of me that this happened, because it's not because.
So I want to talk a little bit so after there's the traction of the national presence, you're on shows and that takes off and that definitely helps a brand kind of create a life of its own. But you have cultivated, and I don't think really anyone gets it. Maybe just Tulsa people get this. I don't know. Maybe some Texas people get this, but like the insane, like you're running a cult, like, and I love it. Like I'm here for it, but like, that's what it is. It's this intense brand loyalty and support and like high regard for everything that like your company stands for and puts out. Was that intentional in any way? And if not, like how do you even maintain something that grows like that?
It was not intentional. I think the way that it happened, if I were to go back for 3 years, is that my office was in the same space that people came to start buying cuffs, which was not zoned for retail, but it was just like commercial. And all I cared about was the relationship, because I like people until I don't like them anymore. And then I don't like
them. Then you're dead to me.
Yeah. Then you're dead. When people would walk in, it was never about look at this cuff or upselling. And I still tell my girls, don't ever upsell. They walk in the door and for you, they are a book walking in that they are on some chapter in that book and you have the ability to help them write a line. You have the ability to impact them. And so I think it wasn't anything different than I've done my whole life of sitting on an airplane next to somebody. By the time you get off the airplane, you know all about them and you're friends with them. And that is how every person. And so I think what was happening is people were walking in never expecting to have a relationship or a friendship with this girl who was making cuffs. And so then because I love fun, I just started doing fun things on this private group, not my regular Rustic Cuff page. People are hungry for community. They're hungry to do things for other people in the community. Nobody's necessarily going to go to St. Francis Children's Hospital and take one coloring book and a pack of crayons, but they will come stand in a line with 1,000 other people to give it to me. And I give them a bracelet for that. So they can be, I mean, a lot of people came for the free bracelet, but they will, you know what it's like when the community gets around a cause. There's no stopping it. So it was a mixture of saying, hey, let's do stuff, because all the force of us is bigger than any one of us. But really, this is just a place that I liked these people. They were fun. They were looking for something, because what happened is they started buying cuffs so they could regift them to other people. I invited all of their husbands here one night, and there were, I want to say there were about 200 husbands, and we split them up into 4 groups. And in my bra, because a lot of, I know I start off a sentence with in my bra. You know what's in my bra. Okay. Yeah, where's that going? In my bra. Because a lot of them were, this is silly. Why does my wife spend money, so much money here? Why does she stay in line?
And she's obsessed. Yeah.
And so I put 200, I can't remember, it was $150 to $250 bills in my bra. And they came in hour segments. And I gave them, like, told them 10 minutes of how it got started. So they wouldn't just think it's this girl just trying to peddle bracelets. And I told them, and I said, listen, it's okay if you never buy another bracelet. I just want you to know the story behind it so you'll have an idea. And then I said, but here's what I want to do. And I pulled these $50 bills out, and I said, I'm going to give you each a $50 bill that I want. I'm going to shake your hand and ask you to look me in the eye and promise me that you will hold on to this for no longer than a week and find somebody, a stranger, not for services and not for bills, a stranger that you will gift it to, and then come back and tell me the story. And the stories that came out of those couple hundred guys were, the news came and did a story on it because it was truly amazing. And so I think if you give somebody else the experience of that, it does build this loyalty because they realize it's not just about the bracelet.
And that feeling is addictive. Like getting that high of giving and being generous and impacting lives, like it's a really, really good feeling. Like it literally creates endorphins in our bodies. And so I think being a part of someone who can kind of lead the pack on that, if people can get the taste of it in any way, like that's, they're just going to sign up for that.
Well, because, you know, a lot of people live in depression and they live in this world of poor me or when will I ever get a break? I promise you, the second that they started to look outside of themselves, even if they didn't have the money, it's really not even about, it just happens to be a bracelet. But even if it's doing something for somebody other than themselves, it's amazing how their life little by little begins to change because their insides begin to change. It is not this inward looking, it's outward looking, which you think really just affects the person you're doing it to, but more so it affects you. So that's, I believe, to answer your question, Emily, that I believe is why this group started forming, because it was a high that you couldn't get from something else.
Well, talk to me a little bit about this private Facebook group, because I hear, like, I've never heard of a product-based business selling in this way before. I've seen groups work fantastically for services and online products, but you have a private group for a product-based business. So talk to me about A, how that started and how you're using it today.
We did a private party here for like 20 people when I first started. It was 3 years ago, but it was still in the beginnings. And these girls came up and said, we just started a group called Addicted to Cuffs. And it's all rustic cuff. And there's 100 of us in there. And instead of texting our pictures, our stacks back and forth, we put them in Facebook. And I said, I want to be part of that. And they said, we'd love to have you. And so I went at 100 people. And it was 3 years ago. I think today or yesterday was the anniversary. And so they started this group. I was not in charge of it at all. But because I'm a late night owl kind of girl, I would start doing these crazy games saying, if anybody can show me a picture of themselves with a QT guy right now holding a banana and a monkey, I will give you, you know, this special cuff that you want. And you had at midnight, you had 50 girls racing to QT, buy a banana with a stuffed animal monkey from their kids' rooms that they woke up to get the monkey to post the picture, which became such a fun game for me because my girls were all, one of them's also late night owl, and we would sit there and watch this happen. And that grew.
It's like you invented Pokemon Go. Like, I feel like you invented that.
I became addicted to doing things like this. And I remember one time in the middle of the day, I said, okay, if you show up at my office and sing a Barry Manilow song, I'll give you this cuff. And I showed a picture of it. We had 150 people, like literally within an hour, line up to sing Barry Manilow songs. And so that grew because people loved the, it was moderate. It was monitored, not by me. And so you kept out people that were critical. You kept out people that would, and you had people telling their stories.
So they would sing Barry Manilow in your office. How did that even happen? What, like, did people just show up?
I would just be sitting there at my desk with an idea. And it was when we only had one showroom. It wasn't even a showroom, just my office. And I would say, I want them to come sing Barry Manilow for this particular bracelet, just for fun. These people in the middle of the day would leave their office, come over here. It was a high for me. And it was a way that I got to just sit there and get to know all these people within an hour and a half. And we did it. I remember that day we did that. It was a 3-hour ordeal because I couldn't say no to people that kept coming. And there were some not good singers. You realize people generally cannot sing. And this grew and grew because I loved it so much. It was so much fun. And today it is over 40,000. And that you have to be invited into this group. It's not, you can't search it. You can't find it if you look for it. You have to know somebody in the group that will invite you in. And it's really, it's hard to explain. I've never seen anything like it. It's not a marketing tool per se, but people, you know, if you show cuffs and you say, you know, we're going to sell this next week, they get excited about it. But on the same token, you can just talk about life in general. And it is, there's so much from A to Z that is in this group that it's hard to explain unless you're in it. Abby, I just added you.
Oh, girl. Now she's going to see the crazy. I love that. Well, and I love that. I mean, going back to just that, like, generosity being infectious, like, my aunt, and I know she's going to listen to this episode, so hopefully she doesn't, like, hate me for bringing it up, but she is addicted, and she's all about that cuff life. And I remember the very first, she gave me my very first cuff, and she gave me a couple. She gave me, like, three, and she said, but one of these you need to gift to someone else. And that led to Abby's first cuff, which was, like, almost 3 years ago now. So I think it's just funny the chain reaction that stuff like this creates, and that we forget that, like, it's not that hard to do. Like, just literally think about how you can be generous and how that domino effect just makes a lot of stuff better.
And I go through drive-thrus now, and, you know, I keep them or I just wear extras. I've given people stuff through drive-thrus that a year or two later, I will have somebody say, you gifted my daughter at midnight something in a drive-thru, and it made such a difference in her day. And you don't realize, it's just a bracelet. I mean, it's a bracelet. But what it does to people, it shows them for 1 second of their life, they are the center of somebody else's attention. And a lot of people don't even have that.
Yep. Well, talk to me about, as we're kind of winding down, before we get into Talk Strategy to Me, I know you've opened up some retail locations and you've expanded a couple and, like, figured all of that out. But, like, what else is Rustic Cuff going to do? What's coming up this year and in the coming years that's going to be just as epic?
Well, there is something coming up, which is hard for me to say on here because I want it to be a big surprise. It will be a big surprise. Really, really cool. I think the thing is, I don't like stale. I like fresh. And everything after a while gets a little stale. And so you have to keep evolving. And so when you keep the fun factor in and the mystery, people want to stay tuned. And so the truth is, 2 years ago, I didn't have a showroom, so I wouldn't even been able to say, this is where we're going. I never know. I mean, literally a few months planning, 6 months planning, and I don't see that much further ahead.
Yeah. Well, and I think at some point we've talked about this in our own business, how really once you meet those kind of foundational goals of, like, getting your business running well, like a well-oiled machine, like, what comes next? And it's more about being in tune with seeing the open doors of opportunity and asking yourself, like, is that where I want to lead? Is that where I want to head? Is that how I want my life to look? Because if I say yes to this, these are the impacts that it's going to have. I'm either going to be working a lot more and stressed and unhappy, or I have the alternative. And so I think, especially after that foundation is built, the ability to see the strategic open doors of just how you freaking want to live and show off your business and show up as a business owner, that's more important than setting some of those tiny goals.
I totally agree. And I'm a very firm believer that if it is your door, you will not have to pound it down. You will not have to kick it in. You will be able to open the knob, or you will see a light coming through the bottom of the door and you walk through that door. So I don't even know sometime. And then there are doors that close. Something that worked really well for years 1 through 3, it might not work in year 4. And you have to be okay with that, because sometimes in order to grow, you have to shrink and go, I let go of this so I can soar to a new height. People hold on to something because it worked before. That does not necessarily mean it's going to work in the next decade. And only until you're okay with letting it go will you really realize what the next door is.
I think this is a great segue into Talk Strategy to Me. And I fully expected to have you talk all about growing a product-based business. But I want you to give some people some action steps or some self-reflection practices they can do to really listen to their intuition. Because I feel like that's what your success has come from, is you just going with your gut and going with the flow and doing what felt right. And so what are some things you feel like would help other people tap into that for them?
Okay. I would say first, if you are not excited about it, if it doesn't give you a high, then you are not going to be able to translate that to other people. You cannot fake excitement. It's very hard. So unless you are in the middle of that thing where you say, I get to do that, then your have to is going to be very hard to give it to somebody else and expect them to be excited about it. So if you are not in the middle of your get to, I would say, what is the thing that keeps you awake at night with excitement? What is the thing that your heart keeps going back to? And what is the thing that people say you're really good at that? Because that is the thing.
Guys, I feel like we've said those exact same sentences before. So, you know.
That is the thing that when you're in the center of it, it is magical. And so I would say, first, find that place. And the second thing I would say is that truly, when you are excellent at something, you shouldn't have to bang a door down. The favor for what you're doing, because you are, the excellence rises to the top. And when you do something with excellence and learn from other people, I believe that you should not have to bang the door down. And then the final thing I would say, and it's so critical for any type of business, but especially people who are starting off a small business, is do not compare your business to anybody else you hear on. My favorite, all-time favorite quote is, don't compare your chapter 1 to chapter 20. Because when I started on Rustic Cuff Facebook, not the private group, I had 100 likes. I remember looking at Michael Kors, who had 1 million, and I thought, why even start? This is silly. You know, you might have, you guys could be somebody who has 20 million listeners. You're like, we're just starting. What's the point? How will we ever get there? But the truth is, if you just take from them, the 20 million listeners or the 1 million followers on Facebook, the things that you can learn, and never ever compare yourself. You are an island unto yourself. You are not, you're your own story. It will change everything, because you can learn from all these people, but you grow according to your own storyline. Those are my
actions. Yes. Preach it, sister. Okay, well, tell everyone where they can see more about you online, hang out with you, check out your cuffs and all that stuff.
Okay, so you can find us online at rusticcuff.com, or follow us on Facebook, Rustic Cuff, Twitter, Rustic Cuff, Instagram. And then we do something fun. If you want to know more about Rustic Cuff, just the story behind it, when you go to rusticcuff.com, click on World of RC. And there's something called Kindness Effect. And there are episodes that we have done that really do, and hopefully will inspire you. So if you don't wear bracelets, hopefully if you go to World of RC online, you can watch the Kindness Effect videos, and that will just inspire you to just do things for others. So
yes, thank you so much for coming on. I had a blast.
It was fun. Can we do this tomorrow?
1,000%. Yes. Stay tuned for part 2.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you
so much. Thank you, Jill.
Looking to elevate your brand without the headache? Join the Co-op, our creative template shop membership. With thousands of easy-to-customize templates, all crafted to seamlessly fit your business aesthetics, we make nurturing leads and driving sales effortless. We're talking serious impact and seriously simple creation. Become a member now at creativeshopcoop.com and transform your business today. That's creativeshopcoop.com. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode, send it to a friend who needs to hear it, and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind the scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love the show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.